Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The woman.
You're so famous, Blaine.
You're so famous, Blaine.
You're so famous.
Hey, honey. Good to see you. Hey, Bobby. Welcome
Hello.
To the show. Welcome to Mr. Red's Lair. I'm your host, Mr. Red. Joining me once again is podcast engineer Blaine. And Bobby. Bobby Moss.
Hi.
Bobby Moss, have you been to the lair?
Not the official lair. I think I've only been on the old podcast before it became
when it was
lair.
Wild 7 podcast. Right. Yeah. I see. Well, welcome. If you notice,
Thank you.
It's a little
Glad
different.
To be here. Happy to be here.
We can be anywhere, but we're in the lair.
We're in the lair.
We could be in a sunshine field. We could be in a rose garden. But we chose to be here in the lair. And you could have been anywhere in the world right now, Bobby.
I could be.
You're here
but
with
I'm
us.
Here.
And you... You out there, you could have been anywhere in the world, but you are listening and watching, and we really appreciate it. And if you like what you see, like, share, and subscribe to us on YouTube. Wild 7 is doing a lot of great things, a lot of fun things. Be a part of the gang. Be a part of the clique. You know, we're doing fun stuff. So, Bobby, you've been quite
yes.
busy, no?
No.
No?
Oh. Not that much. I mean,
But you've been on gigs and stuff like that.
Gigs have been slow. The industry as a whole right now has actually been pretty slow. Mm. It's usually slow in the winter, but like lately, to the point where like all my Instagram memes that I see in my feed are just about how like slow productions are.
Right.
I think it's the writer strike.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, there's a writer strike going on.
And then what is it for the audience? What is it that you do on sets usually?
Oh, I am a cinematographer as well as a focus puller, first assistant camera. So just general camera department on film set.
And you've shot many things for us.
I have.
Yes. What have you shot?
I have shot Amigas, one of the gruesome stories, which is the Kill the Wife episode.
Yes.
And various promos and this, that, or the other.
Diaspora?
Oh, and Diaspora.
Yeah,
oh, my God. It's been a minute. I haven't been here in a while.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I kind of,
yeah.
like, forgot
so,
for a second.
So, Bobby is in the mafia, is in
yes.
our mafia.
Yes.
Our
I'm old school. I'm OG.
Our friendly mafia.
Yes.
Bobby, let's just... I mean, honestly, I don't have, like, funny shit... or fun shit or whatever planned. I just have like geeky shit that I just want to talk to you about.
Let's talk.
First off, I managed to... Okay, I'm going to bring the audience up to speed on this. And this kind of gives you a little glimpse of the comings and goings of Wild 7 Studios. I wrote a script that we're going to do. It's a series.
Yeah.
And I wanted Bobby to shoot it.
Okay.
You read it and you were like... Motherfucker, this is berserk.
Oh, that one.
You
yeah,
remember that?
I remember.
Yeah, I went and read that entire arc.
Okay.
Not the whole thing. I'm on volume 15 of the manga right now.
Okay.
And I've seen, I think, 5 episodes of the OG anime. Yeah.
The one that matters.
The one that people say is pretty good.
Right.
What is your exposure to Berserk? And how did you get turned on to it? I'm just obsessed with this right now. So
I think a friend of mine told me like a while back when I was like heavily into anime back in like 2010, right. 2013, give or take. My friend turned me on to it. He had showed me Hellsing. And I was like, oh, what other like dark, crazy animes you got for me? And he showed me Berserk and blew me away.
Right, right.
Especially because it's just the first season, the original story arc, right, mm-hmm. of Guts going through his journey with the Band of the Hawk and Griffith and everything.
Yeah.
And then it all seems fine and dandy, and it's a nice fantasy story, and it's fun.
We're talking spoilers.
Oh.
We're talking full spoilers.
Yeah, I'm not going to spoil it yet, but the ending is what, like, was the key moment of, like, why it's such a great anime.
That's what I want to pick your brain about.
Okay.
Okay, because now I've read the manga. I was like, let me go to the source of this motherfucker. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Source. Let me go to the source. And so I read the manga. Amazing manga. I haven't read it. Okay, I don't mean to be
I know
like,
there's even more, like, crazy messed up shit going on in the manga as well.
Okay, one thing that I will say about the manga that's a little different. I heard this is different in the thing. I think one of the first 5 episodes that I've seen, there's a part where it shows Guts in flashback running. And you blink, you'll miss this part, right? And he says like Gambino or whatever, the guy or something. In the manga, it's like he was raped as a kid. He was R-worded. I'm sorry.
That's he gets like sold as like a sex slave, basically.
And the thing is, like, before I read the manga, I was like, oh, the guy's name is Guts. It's called Berserk. This is going to be like some, and I'm not against crazy testosterone shit, but like, I thought it was going to be that without thought.
Right. You know what
I mean? And it turns out that the main character is actually a deeply traumatized person.
Yeah.
And it just shows how he manages that. And or he doesn't even manage. He's just angry and shit.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that I want to ask you is, okay, full spoilers. I'm still going to watch the anime because I'm sort of interested. I'm not sort of.
I recommend it. Yeah.
And definitely. I like what I see so far. But I have to say, one thing that most people are saying that I've looked around and stuff was, none of the anime, the old one or the new ones, certainly,
right,
touch the manga.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I don't want to be one of these snooty motherfuckers that's like, oh, I'm reading the manga. It's, you know, like.
Yeah.
But the old anime does seem to cover the basics of the story.
Right.
It's just the manga is a like it ends.
Yeah.
I remember you told me, you were like, dude, the end of Berserk is like, oh, okay.
Right.
What happens with Griffith? If you haven't seen Berserkers or anything, this is a nerdy thing. Just fuck off if you don't, you know, like, but
we're in deep lore here.
Yeah. And Blake, I apologize. You don't know who we're talking about. You know, like,
I mean, I follow anime.
Oh, yeah. Berserk is fucking awesome. Like, it's. Excuse me.
Sorry if you're going to get spoiled.
Yeah.
It's probably going to happen.
It's awesome. And excuse me for that belch. I apologize, Mom. What's it called? So basically, for those of you that don't know, Berserk is the story of this mercenary Guts.
In a fantasy world.
In a fantasy world that kind of the closest equivalent I can think of, or the sort of way of describing it is, you know how Game of Thrones is all that medieval shit kind of like blended into a blender and it's like the pulp of it? You know what I mean? This one feels like that, but from a Japanese perspective, kind of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. Like it feels like somebody, Shintaro Miyamura, I can't remember his name. Shit. Hold on. Blake, could you look up what the author of Shintaro Miyamura?
I believe so.
I think so. If it's not, shame on
Berserk.
Me. Yeah, Berserk author who just died recently.
Oh, did he?
BESERCK, I think, or K? I don't know.
Yeah.
I was in a spelling bee once, but I bluffed my way through it. what's it called? You're following this character. He meets at first in the anime and also in the manga, you first see him when he's older.
Right.
And then it goes back and it shows how he
got to where he was.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You have no idea how to pronounce
the director's name. What's
Let me see.
Oh, that's the director of the anime. Hold up, hold on. Let me. Berserk manga author. Let's see if Siri is smart enough.
Is it the animated series? No.
Kentaro Miura. Who the fuck was I saying?
Miyamori or something?
Yeah. No.
Apologies for that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry, Japan. You know, like, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah. I made up a gibberish name maybe or something, you know, but maybe that was someone else. Off. No, okay. Well, his name is Kentaro Miura, and he just passed away, actually. And I heard that, like, he kind of goes off to a mountain would go to a mountain for, like, years on end and sort of come up with Berserk. And it does seem like that. But basically, Berserk is the story of this guy, Guts. And Guts is a real attitude problem guy, right?
Yeah.
He's mean.
He's working through some shit.
Yeah. Like, if you're suffering and he sees you, he'll just walk past you and be like, it's not my problem. Like, he's one of those guys. You know what I mean? And so you're like, why is Guts such an asshole? And then it goes back to when he was younger.
Right.
And he meets the Band of the Hawk.
Yes.
Led by this guy named Griffith. So you tell me, what happens at the end of Berserk?
So Griffith has this necklace, which contains the egg of the king?
Yeah.
Right? And for, I can't remember exactly what it is, but it symbolizes something of demonic value.
Uh-huh.
And it means he's like pledging his soul to a higher power, but like evil forces.
Mm-hmm.
So throughout the whole thing, you think he's Guts' friend, he's almost his best friend, borderline lover almost. Like, they have a very, very, very strong connection.
Yeah.
And even throughout the series, there's other people telling him, like, this man is going to betray you. And he just denies it. And at the end, you find out, for whatever reason, the egg transforms or does something. And him and the Band of the Hawk get transported into another realm, which is essentially hell.
Yeah.
I think, right? And there's, like, these other demon lords who bring them into their clan by sacrificing all of his friends and his clanmates.
All, like, of Griffith's friends who looked up to Griffith, which is the fucking
They all thing. Trusted him, Guts included, and what's her name? The
Casca.
Woman? Casca.
Mm-hmm.
And they all just get brutally murdered in hell, and except for Guts, who makes it out alive. Doesn't he get left alive for a purpose?
Yeah, something like that. And then, like, in the manga, it's like every time it turns dark, these creatures will come after him.
Right, because he has the mark of
mark
something.
Of the something. Yeah. Because it's been a while. Guts, when he was born, his mom was like hanging from a tree, dying, and then he just kind of slid out of his mom. And then they took him in. It's such a fucked up, like, dark story.
But, yeah.
Like, these like mercenaries take him in and raise him, but they hate him.
Yeah.
And then that's where I guess his trust issues begin.
Right, you know,
being birthed by a dead woman.
That's in the manga too. Like, they don't go over that in the anime that much.
Yeah. Did you read the manga?
I didn't.
You did?
I've read like
bits,
the wiki of it a little, just to see like the difference between the two.
Right.
But no, I didn't personally read it.
Like, for instance, Casca.
Mm-hmm.
In the anime, I don't know where it goes with her, but is she one of the people that dies?
Yes, and her.
Really?
I don't know if she dies or she's just taken.
Oh.
Because the super fucked up part about the ending, which, again, spoilers, we're already in that territory. Griffith does some fucked up shit to Guts, which is to have him being held down by the demons. They're holding him down and forcing him to watch Griffith raping Casca.
That's what I was going to ask if it even had
it's
that.
It's super fucked up. Yeah, it happens in the anime.
Yeah, and then
I mean, it's not like a full scene. They just kind of flash image it, but, like, you know what's happening. Like,
that's nuts.
Yeah.
That's
but I don't know if she gets killed after or if she's just like kept as
I'm not trying to be I have a question.
Yeah.
Trying to be like cancel culture or anything, but like why is it like I've sort of noticed that the Japanese are sort of like not influenced, but like they're very interested in rape.
No, why you know what it is? I will this is my take on that.
Blake, because I've noticed that too. I think their entertainment just has more of that.
Yeah.
like I don't know what it is. I can't really sit and be like, you know why it's all that sushi they're eating or something. You know, it's
something cultural.
I can say in terms of
not in a good way. I don't mean cultural. Yeah, like it's part of their culture.
But then the thing is, like American shit is like it's not
can get like that too.
Yeah, I mean American
not
shit
as much,
gets.
Though. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
See, Japanese. I'll say this: Japanese movies. When you see a rape scene, it's kind of just happening. American movies, they don't have necessarily a lot of rape scenes, but they get rapey. You dig what I'm saying? Where the guy, like for instance, the best example is the end of Revenge of the Nerds, where a woman is essentially getting raped, you know, but it's like a joke. I think, honestly, Blake, that's in every culture. Like, I think the stuff of ours that makes it overseas, people look at it and they're like, what the fuck is up with America?
Dude, Last House on the Left is like pretty gnarly with it. It's 20 minute scene. It's like very uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah. And I've said this before, like, it took me forever to watch A Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
Because
that shit's
gnarly. Yeah. And the thing is, like, I'm not a cancel culture person at all. And I love that movie as this piece of cinema, but it's gnarly.
Yeah.
And then, dude, you want to talk like super gnarly? Go Ichi the Killer gnarly.
Right.
Like, and that's Japanese. So, Blake, I don't really have a hardcore answer for that other than...
And the biggest reason why it's brought up in this story particularly is it's just like, it's a medieval fantasy world. So, same like Game of Thrones, there's a lot of rape in Game of Thrones, right? So, it's just kind of like that story world where... It's a thing. Like
Yeah, dating was different.
It's the sad reality of the medieval fantasy world.
No, right. Like, the thing is, like, I like to think that human beings are getting better. You know what I mean? Like we're moving forward. But I assume back in the day when dudes would just do that. You know what I mean? Like, and it's, like, gnarly and stuff. And the thing is, like... It does open you up to that conversation of like, do you acknowledge it or do you kind of like just ignore that aspect of history? And you know what I mean? Like within our family trees, probably one or two of the lovely ladies in our ancestry were assaulted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, and so it's like, you know, what do you, what a dark episode. Fuck. How do we get back to the
segue back to anime?
I will say in the anime,
right?
Back to anime. Those hell creatures that Griffith becomes essentially one of them. They're kind of like Hellraiser-ish, right?
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
What are they called? The Cenobites?
Yeah, the Cenobites. They're almost exactly like the Cenobites. Yeah.
And some of them look. What do you call it? They look the same. Like, they're wearing, like, almost the same costume.
Like leather gear kind of thing. You know? And then, like, in the manga, it's super graphic. Like, not super, but he does that.
Yeah.
And then, like, I mean, I was going to describe it, but it's like, oh, fuck, it's pretty gnarly. But the thing is, like, dude, it's a beautiful work of art. Not the rape shit. The R-word stuff. But, like, the whole story of Guts and stuff.
Yeah.
The thing that's
But now that you see the ending, do you know what I'm talking about? How it related to the story you had showed me? You had wrote that story that you wanted me to shoot. And as I read it, I was like, bro, this is berserk. Like,
at least
the plot, like.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I went back. Because the thing is, if I'm going to steal something.
Right.
I want to know what I'm stealing from. And then if it's, there's a way to do it, right? You know, like you can steal something, but then a lift is something else. Like a lift is not cool. Stealing is cool. A lift is like, you're just fucking reskinning something.
Right.
And I was uncomfortable with you even saying that. So I was like, you know what? Absolutely. I'm going to just read the whole manga to see what the similarities are. And then after reading it, I'm like, okay, now I can reapproach.
It was mostly the similarity of like the hero being forced down to watch a loved one be tortured in some way.
Right.
And that's all I was really getting
at. But it is like, dude,
but it was close. It was like very similar.
No, right. Yeah. I will say the thing that happens in the manga is Casca survives.
But
she's...
I know the story continues after.
Yeah. She survives. She's super fucked up over it.
I would imagine so.
But to the point where she's repulsed by Guts. And then I haven't gotten to this part in the manga, but this makes it even ultra more fucked up. She still loves Griffith because if you remember in the anime, she super looks up to Griffith and she loves him.
Yeah.
But it's gnarly. And then the thing is, like, this creates in Guts like a fucking, like, oh, these motherfuckers, I want to kill Griffith.
Right.
You know? So it's like, it is that. It's very good.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Dude.
It's one of my favorite animes. At least that original season one with that ending. That's all I know of it. I know the story continues. I've never read the mangas or seen, like, the follow-up animes that I think continue the story.
Yeah. And
it wasn't for lack of trying. I just, like, I don't know. I just never got around to it. Wasn't that interested.
Right.
Because the ending of that first season of that original story was perfect to me. And, like, for the story to continue, I didn't want it to.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I'm at the point in the manga where it's kind of passing where the anime, where you're describing.
Right.
And I'm like, well, where are they going to go from this?
Right, exactly.
You know, like, and there's some little adventures here and there and stuff, and it's cool, but it's like that main arc, I guess they call it the Golden Age arc.
Yeah.
Is really, like, kind of devastating. And it's really, and the whole love story, pretty much a love story between between Guts and Casca is really touching in the manga. I don't know how
they do it pretty well in the anime.
Yeah,
like you get the sense of, like, that connection with them. Yeah,
it's all like homoerotic between Guts and
Griffith
and Griffith, where they, like, bathe with each other. They're like, hey, stop it. Yeah, you know, like, that's funny because it shows, like, dudes. When they're alone together, they're very homoerotic. Like, they're like, I love you know, like, it's just the way it is, man.
It's like like a locker room scene kind of thing. Yeah. Like,
Bobby,
yes,
I would like to use this opportunity to do a quick pitch to Hollywood. And we are Hollywood. You know, we're a studio. I'm a studio head. Selling Chris is a studio head. April runs the.
But you want my approval.
Well, what I'm thinking is, let's throw our hats sort of into a ring. And I put my sunglasses on because it's like we're doing the Hollywood game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
I will get into this on the next episode, on our big 420 episode. I can't fucking wait to get high. I sampled a product that was a sponsor, and it was a THC product.
Cool.
And I needed something to watch.
Right.
I chose the Street Fighter anime movie.
The old one, right?
The old one.
Street Fighter 2.
Yes.
Like, which is funny that it's like a Street Fighter 2 anime movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or is it just called Street Fighter? But it's based off the Street Fighter.
Well, that was the thing that always confused me about the franchise.
Yeah.
Did you notice that, like, they made Street Fighter, which was arcade game.
Yeah.
And then they made Street Fighter 2. And then instead of making Street Fighter 3, 4, 5, it kind of, for a second, it was like Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Right.
Street Fighter 2 this. And and I think eventually they went to 3, 4, 5.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and all the variations.
Yeah. But this movie is called Street Fighter 2 The Movie.
The Movie, yeah.
And I was watching it. I was like, holy fuck. And this shit was kicking in. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, I'm in it. I am a street.
Was it like a cookie or like a drink? What?
It was kind of a drink. I'll describe it. It was like a sugar, almost like a pixie stick kind of thing. Okay. And you put it in your soda or you put it in your sparkling water.
Yeah.
Have a nice time. I'll get into it on the next thing, but because they're sponsoring that episode.
Sweet.
But I was watching it and I'm like, fuck, man, dude, I'm Street Fighter. And then I thought, like, dude, I'm willing to bet they want to remake this. I'm willing to bet Hollywood is so depleted of ideas and so creatively bankrupt.
Netflix will pick it up.
They'll do something. And the thing is, I'm all for it. I like these properties being picked up for big things.
Songs are good.
Yeah, shoot your shot, Hollywood. Do your thing, you know? So what I'm thinking is, Bobby, you have been told that you kind of look like Adam Driver.
This is true.
You look, I've been told. You know.
I'm not saying it's true that I do. And I've been told that I do. And that's true.
No disrespect to Adam Driver. I like you better than Adam Driver.
Thank you.
I don't know him. I don't know him, Blake. He seems like a nice man, and he was in the military. That's cool.
But he was, wasn't he?
It was weird. Yeah. But no, I mean, that's cool. Really?
I've only seen that image. There's like an image of him in his like Navy outfit or whatever. Like he used to be like military, yeah.
Which scares me, because what if he sees me and then like his military eyes, like Terminator is like must kill.
They turn red.
Must kill Arab. And I'm like, no, I'm not Arab. You know. You know. But I like you better.
Thanks.
And what I'm thinking is, if we dyed your hair blonde, Listen. You be Ken.
Okay.
I be Ryu.
Sweet.
And I'll fix myself.
Yeah.
I'll get more in shape to be Ryu. Do you know which one Ryu is, Blake?
Not really sure.
Blake, Ryu or Ryu?
Ryu. Ryu is the correct one with the
pronunciation.
Yeah, like the white sleeveless vest and the red headband.
The main character of Street Fighter.
He's the one that goes, Ayuken, right?
Hadouken.
Yeah. He's that one. What I'm thinking is for Chun-Li, you guys are going to love this idea, okay? For Chun-Li, we get Constance Wu, okay?
Okay.
But then we fire her because I don't think we'll get along. You know, like we hire her. We'll shoot maybe a few scenes.
You'll hire her just to fire her?
Just to fire her.
Okay.
And then I'll be like, I've had enough of you, Constance. I want Awkwafina.
Yes.
That would be cool. Awkwafina is Chun-Li.
The water?
No. That's her name, right?
Yeah.
Does she have a real name or does she go by that?
She just goes by that. She's credited on films, it says Awkwafina.
I'll be like, Awkwa, I had enough of Constance. You're Chun-Li now. And then who do I want for Cammy? Because that's the one that... Well, I don't know who's going to play Cammy. But whoever it is, it's got to be a dime piece. You know what I'm saying? Mean? You know? I'm going to fire Constance Wu. You're going to love this idea.
I'm loving it already.
I'm going to have Jared Leto play M. Bison. Now, here's my thing. Our M. Bison, you have never seen an M. Bison like this character.
Okay.
He bathes in filth.
He kind literally, of filth.
Just filth.
Filth. Okay.
And we won't even talk like sewage. You know? Yeah. Like, he bathes in sewage. We'll tell Jared, dude, if you really want to get into character, you have to start bathing in filth. And he'll do that.
Probably.
And then, basically the story is we have to stop M. Bison from obtaining. Now, everybody right now is obsessed with AI and, is that going to ruin everything? Dude, forget about that. Worry about a quantum computer. Do you know what that is? A quantum computer, Blake, you should be scared. Because if somebody creates a quantum computer, we are all fucked. A quantum computer is a computer that can work so fast, right? So fast that if I just plug it into the right thing, it will find the nuclear codes. That's fucked up. And everybody's worried about Terminator. It's a quantum computer you should be worried about. If somebody creates that, we are fucked. And we need to stop that at all costs. So basically the story is M. Bison has obtained a quantum computer. Ryu and Ken, us, we need to find it.
Okay.
Okay. And at some point we'll explain, like, why does Chun-Li, at one moment she looks like Constance Wu and then she looks like Awkwafina. And then I'll be like,
Shoot some scenes with Constance and then fire.
Well, one time I was watching a soap opera with my mom when I was a little boy and they changed. It was the trippiest thing because even as a kid, I was like, what the fuck? They had a character named Eduardo. Uh-huh. Okay, he was like the Latin husband of this lady.
Yeah.
And then in the just one day, this new guy came, and then you heard an announcer. I swear to Christ, this is true. I think it was on Guiding Light. This announcer goes, "The part of Eduardo will be played by Bradley Stevenson," or something.
Right.
And it was like, whoa. And then so then, that's what we'll do.
Okay.
Awkwafina will show up. They'll be like, "The part of Chun-Li will now be played by Awkwafina." So long, Constance. You know, and we'll wish you well. You know, like, but we don't get along. I imagine we wouldn't get along.
What if she was like super cool and like heavy pothead and like liked all the same things you do?
She's back on. Or I'll have her play Cammy.
Oh, okay.
I'll be like, "You play Cammy," even though she's blonde.
So you'll fire her from Chun-Li.
Yeah. Well, the announcer, I like your thinking, Bobby. The announcer will go like, "Audience, forgive us. The part of Cammy will now be played by Constance. It turns out they get along. Go get him, Constance." You know, and it'll do something like that. The story is we got to find him, Bison. And then meanwhile, I really hope Jared Leto like does his stupid thing of like he researches the part and stuff, because I want him to bathe in shit, you know, like you know, I and I'll be like, yeah, he'll be like, "Oh, I did this to get in the character." I'll be like, "Yeah, sure, great," you know, like you know, yeah, what, you know, we have to find the quantum computer, and Bison dies of E. coli because of all his filth of his filth bathing. There's a book called Gravity's Rainbow where a guy, like, yeah, you know, he eats filth, and then he gets E. coli later. And so I got that from that. Thomas Pynchon, shout out you. He gets E. coli and dies. So then Ryu and Ken are like, "Well, what the fuck? What do we do?" We're like, "Well, let's go get some drugs." And then we... and then what we do is we go... Rudy, isn't this amazing? Yeah, thank you, sir. Thank you, Rudy, in the background there. You know, like producer Rudy. Welcome,
it
producer
already sounds
Rudy.
Better than anything Hollywood's been putting out.
Yeah,
lately.
Yeah, exactly. We go, and mind you, this is a ripoff of the scene from Boogie Nights. But I figured Damien Chazelle fucking ripped this scene off too for Babylon, La La Land, or whatever. Babylon, let's rip it off too. We want to go get some drugs, so then we're like, "Okay, let's get some drugs. What do you want to get? Like, well, let's get some coke or something." You know, like, so then we're like, One of the fighter, E. Honda, the sumo wrestler guy, he's like, "Dude, I know this guy who's got like drugs. It's Andrew Tate. Like, you know, like we'll go to his place, get some drugs. He's always got bitches running around and stuff." And then we'll go, and then we'll just like, the scene is just like, we're really uncomfortable. Like, he's talking about his Bugatti. He's talking about all these women he has and stuff. And we're just like, "Dude, I think we should split. Like, this guy's, he's like in, he's trouble," and you know, and all of a sudden the SWAT team comes in and stuff. They arrest Andrew, and then we're like, "Well, we didn't know we were one of them, the women," and stuff like that. And yeah, you know, like it's that scene from Boogie Nights, but you know, where they go and try to hook up drugs, but instead they find trouble, and then it's just kind of awkward and stuff. And we're just like, "Dude, maybe we should go," and you know, like, and then we just go.
Who's playing Andrew Tate?
Blake.
Okay.
No.
Don't
do that to him.
Right. No, because the thing
It'll just be Jared Leto again.
Yeah, he'll be like no, because the thing is, like, I get weirded out. Listen, I'm not gonna say no disrespect to Andrew Tate, because who cares? He's a public figure, who gives a fuck? But I get uncomfortable when guys are very
Flexter Bugatti.
Yeah. Because the thing is, like, imagine this scene where we just want to get some blow, you know, just, you know, to have an 8-ball. And, you know, I don't really do cocaine, but it's just for the movie. I think it'd be cool if Ryu did coke, you know.
Yeah.
We're like, "Hey, Andrew, could you give us some coke, man?" You know, like, and then he's like, "Yeah, man," you know, and then he'll start like doing moves in the air, you know, like, and we'll just like look at each other like, "Dude, who's this guy fighting?" And then
like Mac.
Yeah. He's like, "Can you guys do this? You know, I fought all these UFC championships. You fucking love, I'm a man." And I'll be like, "Okay, yeah, we get it. You know, like, can we have our coke, please?" And stuff. And then he'll be like, "No, I got all these women. And so the women, they do cam shows. You like that?" And then we're like, "I don't know, man. It's kind of scary." And then, you know, that's the thing. And then, like, instead of having the SWAT team come in, like the Romanian police force and stuff, we'll just fucking, we'll be like, we'll just All right, Andrew, we're gonna go. You know what I mean?
Like, sounds good to me.
Yeah, we're just gonna
end game.
I'm gonna go. He'll be like, and in fact, it'll show that we're not necessarily like heroes. Okay. You know,
we're just kind of there.
Well, what'll happen was, because I want to do this scene. I know April will have issue with it, but I want to do this scene. Okay. He smacks a girl.
Who?
Andrew.
Oh.
He smacks a girl, and we just go, okay, so I'm going to...
We're
going to
go.
So I'm just going to... I'm just going to let myself out.
Yeah.
That's cool, Bugatti, man. That's cool, man. That's cool. Yeah. That's my Street Fighter movie, you know? Note that there wasn't a lot of fighting or streets or anything, but... You know, we're doing what we can. We're trying to put new ideas into Hollywood. Bobby, where can the good people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at mobby.boss, or just look up my name, Bobby Moss, cinematographer. I'm also tagged on Wild 7 stuff. Again, shot Diaspora, yes. Amigas, and Kill the Wife. So
hire this man. He is good. Me. He's the man with the crystal eye.
Thanks.
You know?
Appreciate that.
Blake, you care to?
I'm not really on social media.
You're off the grid, huh? You're so famous, Blake. You know, like that's. I'm waiting for her to say that.
She already did.
She did? Yeah. Oh, okay, okay.
No, you missed.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Mr. Nasred. Follow me on Instagram at Mr. Nasred. Like, share, and subscribe all of our wonderful YouTube videos and stuff. And subscribe to Wild 7 on YouTube. And leave us a wonderful review. Leave nice comments. Don't leave shitty comments, because I don't even read them. I don't give a fuck. You know? Like, if you leave a nice comment, it will get to me. If you leave a shitty comment, It won't even, nobody will, you know, it'll be deleted. I won't even see it. And I'll just live my fabulous life.
Yeah.
I can't wait. You know, I think Constance will be cool. So I look forward to firing her 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
You know?
She'll get fired from Cammy as well.
Yeah. She'll get fired from Cammy, and then I'll have her.
E-Honda?
E-Honda. I was going to say, she'll play E-Honda.
Yeah.
And I'll have her put on weight. No. I don't want to do that to her, because she's the one. I don't want her to have bad health. We'll put on a fat suit. But then I'll tell Jared that M. Bison puts on weight, so you need to put on the weight. I know you like to do that, you freak. You know? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's a freak. What a weirdo. Right?
A little weird.
Yeah. Strange. It's a little cult. Very weird. Little Teeny Bopper fans or something. Very odd. Odd man you are. But I respect you as an artist, I guess. I don't know. You see House of Gucci? I did. I saw House of Gucci, ate a bunch of popcorn, and then when I came home, I threw up. Mm. Not because of the House of Gucci, just because of the popcorn. Something was weird with the butter. All right, that's it.
Please take a moment and hit those like and subscribe buttons. While a small gesture, it really means a lot to Wild 7 Studios and allows us to continue creating meaningful and fun content for your viewing pleasure.